Psalm 100. Let's go ahead and stand as we read God's word here tonight. Psalm 100, if you're able to. It says, "Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. Know ye that the Lord, he is God. It is he that hath made us, and not we ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving, and into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him, and bless his name. For the Lord is good, his mercy is everlasting, and his truth endureth to all generations." Father, thank you for your kindness and love. Thank you for your truth. Thank you that your word is true. And Father, we ask that as we look into several passages of Scripture, you'd make your truth real to us. Make yourself real to us. And Father, I pray that by some of the things we look at here tonight, that you would use your Scripture to encourage us, to bless us, to direct us. And Lord, where necessary, to rebuke us and correct us. We thank you that your grace is always sufficient. Lord, we pray for just your guiding hand in all that's said and done here tonight. We pray in Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. I've entitled this, God is our Maker. And this psalm gives an interesting, notice verse 1 and 2. In fact, talk to me here just a moment. If we were to look at 1 and 2, what is the theme if you were going to summarize 1 and 2? Talks about we should do what? I'm hearing, you have to speak, raise your hand so I can call you. What? Well, tell me, Bob. I can. Joyful, okay? So joyful, and in that joy, what should you also be doing? And as you're joyful and serve the Lord, and then you get into verse number, I guess it's serving, and so a joyful service is the aspect of that, and then the foundation, and I was thinking, the singing there, and there's aspect of praise there. And so the reason for that is verse number 3. He said, you know something. And I just thought it's interesting that God says, okay, I want you to be praising and singing to the Lord. I want you to have some gladness and joy in serving. And the foundation of that is something you know. So understand when the Bible talks about praise, it's not just frivolous singing and joyful ideas. It's based on the truth of what God is and who he is and what he's done for us. And then that same pattern comes up in verse number 4. So verse 4, what would we say? I won't ask Bob to give me this one because he'd get it right. So what in verse 4? What does it speak of there? Praise, in yes, it's there again, but what's an emphasis mentioned twice there? Yeah, thanksgiving. So a gratitude in our praise. So you could say a joy in our praise, a gratitude in our praise, verse number 4. And then what is that founded on? Well, verse 5. For the Lord is good, his mercy is everlasting, and truth endureth to all generations. Now let me ask you, the things that are mentioned in verse 3 and verse 5, do those ever change? No. So therefore our praise should always be something we can give. Because it's not based on just the emotion of the moment, it's based on the facts about God. But go back to verse 3, and here's what I want you to see here in this psalm especially. Know that the Lord, he is God, he's uniquely the one who we serve. It is he that hath made us. And so there's a lot of aspects to that. I think you could talk about him being the creator. I think that's sort of in the background a little bit. I think it's more speaking of a community. In the Old Testament, you think of Israel. New Testament, you think of the church. But it also would entail not just that God made me, though that will, I'll emphasize that somewhere else. But I think there's an aspect of he put all your situations together. And all the time, all the places, all the people, all the things that you've experienced throughout life, some of that's been good. Some of it was for your pursuit of godliness. Other times it may be in your pursuit of sin, which God is not the author of sin, but he can still use that and all the consequences of that for good, for ministry. And so it is he that hath made us. So whatever God has placed into our lives, we understand, hey, there's an aspect that he was involved. He was coordinating it to bring you to this day so you could be useful for him. We are his people. We're the sheep of his pasture. He's not going to discard us. He's going to use us. And so it's he that hath brought all of those things together to this moment, to this time, so he can use you and bless you. Let's praise him for it. So just that first thought that I want us to understand that everything, God is bringing that all together for good. Every good gift and every perfect gift cometh from above. cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. I always think that's neat, the Father of lights. And so he's there to guide our path. Another one, let's go over to Psalm 139. So just over to the right, just a little bit. So 139. So remember, he hath made us. Psalm 139, and this goes back into our creation in our mother's wombs. Psalm 139, verse 13 down through verse 18. Let's just read down through there, and I'll comment about God's forming us in the womb. For thou hast possessed my reins. That's, you know, in really in Old Testament ideas, the word kidneys. And so what do they call it when they're dealing with kidneys in medical field? Renal. Okay, and so that's similar to. Anyways, possess my reins, thou hast covered me in my mother's womb. So from that very start, forming us, verse 14, I will praise thee, I will praise God, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. So all of us, you know, sometimes we say, oh, I'm so stupid, I can't accomplish anything. Wait, stop. You're describing the creation of God. And God says, you're fearfully and wonderfully made. And then he continues on. Again, it's so interesting to me that as you look at the scripture, I will praise God. Why? Because it's built on a foundation of truth. I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy works, and that my soul knoweth right well. I know I'm the creation of God. In all my imperfections, in all that I am, still God's going to use me. And so God has created me. Verse 15, my substance was not hid from thee, from God, when I was made in secret and curiously wrought in the lowest parts of the earth. As I mentioned before, that aspect there, they didn't believe that babies were made in the dirt and then came to the womb. I think there's a picture there of the darkness of the womb and likened to Adam being formed out of the dust of the earth. So each one of us are God's special creation. That's the point I think it's making there. It was a secretive thing in the mother's womb, but it was something that God was involved with. Verse number 16, thine eyes did see my substance. In other words, God's involved in all of this. Thine eyes, God's eyes did see my substance, yet being unperfect. In other words, that embryo forming. And by the way, folks, this is a primary passage. I think most of you know, but let's just say it. This is one reason we know that from conception, God's involved. And that's why abortion is evil. It's killing that which God has created. He is the creator of life. And for us to as a society, to take the life from the womb is saying, we are God, we are in charge, and so we need to be very careful about that whole thing. God's the author of life, and it starts there in the womb. And we need to understand that. So that's why abortion is abortion is a defiant fist in the face of God. I mean, we need to just be frank for where it's at and what it is. And so God says, hey, I'm forming that in the womb. Verse number 16, continue. And in thy book, all my members were written, which in continuance were fashioned when as yet there was none of them. I think there's an aspect there that God is planning and purposing not only your birth, but your life. We'll see that more in a moment. Verse number 17, how precious also are thy thoughts unto me. O God, how great is the sum of them. If I should count them, they are more in number than the sand. When I am awake, I am still with thee. And that may even speak of death and all the way to heaven. And so God's in charge of all of life. But God says, I think about you often. In fact, it's so often, it's more than the sand. I remember one time I was reading that. So I went out when I was in Wenatchee there, and I just went over to a sandy part just off our parking lot. And so I picked up just a little bit, not a large pinch, but just a very small pinch. I went back to my office, got a white piece of paper and put it down there. And then I took off I didn't have my glasses at that time. I would have taken off my glasses. And I started with a pencil and I started counting them. And I counted 260 some little grains of sand in a very small pinch between my fingers. And I thought, wow, God thinks about us a lot. I wasn't about to count a bucket full of sand. So just thinking of that, God. And so all I'm saying is from the very womb, God's involved. And so what comes out in the birth, that's part of God's creation. And each one of us are in the hand of, you know, has been created by the hand of God. Let's go over to Jeremiah. Jeremiah chapter 1. You may see a theme coming there. God's forming us. God's creating us. It is he that hath made us, even from the womb. Jeremiah chapter 1. And so right at the beginning of this book is Jeremiah. In verses 1 through 3, he describes the scene and the setting and the time frame of his ministry through different kings. And then verse number 4, he speaks about God's call. And then the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, before I formed thee in the belly, so Psalm 139, I knew thee. And before thou camest forth out of the womb, I sanctified thee. I set you apart and I ordained you. I anointed you, thee, a prophet unto the nations. And so God, not only, think about this, not only is he planning and working in the womb, but he's planning and purposing for our life and our ministry. God made you the way he made you for a purpose in life. And every one of us has part of that purpose, that God has a plan for us, and we need to understand that. And maybe we need to think about what Jeremiah said after that. Then said I, Lord God, behold, Lord, I can't even talk to you. I'm just a child. I can't accomplish that. I can't do what you've asked me to do. There's just no way. We need to stop a moment. Whenever we say to God, Lord, I can't do it, and God gives some reasons. He said, I'm going to help you. I'll be with your mouth and all this kind of thing. But there's a thought here that God says, I want you to go back, and I have planned this long ago, and I want you to fulfill my plan. I want you to follow my purpose. So from the very start, God is planning and purposing for our life. Think of another one. Go back over to Galatians chapter 1 there. And the similar idea with the Apostle Paul, but he looks at it a little differently. In Jeremiah, it was God speaking to him, telling him, you know, I've made you for this purpose. But in Galatians, Paul is giving his testimony and telling how God changed his course of life through his salvation. And so Galatians 1, starting in verse 14, and I'll just jump in there. It says, let me start verse 13. For ye have heard of my conversation, my life in time past in the Jews' religion, how that beyond measure I persecuted the church of God and wasted it, and profited in the Jews' religion. In other words, he was advancing in his life in the Jews' religion above many my equals in my own nation, being more exceedingly zealous of the tradition of my fathers. But, this is where God changed his course, but when it pleased God, now notice the next phrase, who separated me from my mother's womb. And I think what he's saying, you know, it's God who gave me life from the very start. It was God who brought me into this world. And then he says, and he called me by his grace. So God gave me life. God called me by his grace. But notice verse 16. And this could really, and when it pleased God, verse 16, to reveal his son in me, that I might preach him among the heathen. Immediately I conferred not with flesh and blood and so forth. But I thought it's interesting. He said, this is what God was pleased to do. To work in my life to such an extent that through me, I'd reveal his son to the world. And that was primarily through preaching, but also through his life, a change of life. And so Paul stops him when he says, you know what? God gave me life, and God gave me a call, and my life and my call come down to this reality. God sent me here to reveal Jesus Christ to the world. And folks, that's why you're here. From the very start, from the very reality that God gave you life, to God's calling unto salvation and God's calling unto ministry, he says, you know what? You're here. You're here to reveal Jesus Christ to those around you. That's why you're here today. That's why you're still around today. Because God says, I want to reveal my son to your neighbors, to your friends, to your coworkers, to your fellow church members. We all need to see Jesus. And sometimes we come on Sunday and we are discouraged. Whatever it happens to be, whatever reason that is, and that's why you need to be with the church. That's one of the reasons, a lot of other reasons, but we need to see Christ in one another. And I do, a lot. Praise God. And that's what part of the reasons we're here, is to reveal Christ to our friends and to our family. Now, let's go one more. Go back to Exodus. So all these things are about God's making us, and he's our maker in many ways. Exodus chapter 4, and this is where Moses is at the burning bush, and he's making, it was interesting, I was talking to one man, and he said, you know, Moses didn't make excuses, this was concerned. And he said, really, if you look at them, they're all legitimate concerns that he had about carrying out a ministry. I still think they were partially excuses, but anyway, he's writing a book about it, so I'll wait till the book comes out. He said he'd send me one, so we'll see what happens. But this is his final concern that he has, or final excuse he makes. And let me just start in verse number 10 here, Exodus 4. And Moses said unto the Lord, O my Lord, I am not eloquent, neither hitherto nor since thou hast spoken unto thy servant. Lord, I've never been good at speaking to people. And Lord, since I'm talking to you at this bush, I can tell things haven't changed. There's no miracle. There's no manifestation of all of a sudden I'm filled with God's Spirit and I got this eloquent tongue and I can speak. There's nothing. I don't see anything, Lord. And he says, but I am slow of speech and slow of tongue. I have difficulty putting together my words. Sometimes I mumble and fumble and bumble. Lord, I can't do this. And the Lord says this. He says, who hath made man's mouth? And then notice what he says after that. And who maketh the dumb? Now, that doesn't mean stupid. That means the idea of cannot speak. And so who maketh the one who cannot speak? Who makes the one who cannot hear? Or the seeing and those who cannot see? And then it says, have not I the Lord? And then he says to him, now therefore go, and I will be with thy mouth and teach thee what thou shalt say. Interesting, verse 11, that God says, hey, I'm involved in all the weaknesses and infirmities of every one of my created beings. And that is not an excuse not to do what I've asked you to do. I will be with every one of those. Remember Paul when he had the thorn in his flesh and God says, you know, my grace is sufficient for thee. I think of Jesus when he said, remember the man born blind. And the disciples said, well, why is he born blind? Is it because of his sin or his parents' sin? And Jesus said, no, neither one. It's for the glory of God. So everything in from our birth and our life and God directing and planning and purposing, it all comes to that to reveal his son in me so that I might depend upon God to accomplish his task. Think about it this way. In your weaknesses that you sense, that's your opportunity to depend upon God. And as you depend upon God, God will use you. And how he uses you is how you'll be rewarded in heaven. So maybe consider it this way. That every weakness that you have is a greater opportunity for you to be used and to be rewarded in eternity. So you can count it a blessing. Count your blessings. Name them one by one. Some of us, we can number all our weaknesses and name them, handful by handful. But God says, hey, I want to use that.